Are you looking for a pro football podcast that doesn't put you to sleep with spreadsheets or insult you with mindless hot takes? Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL Podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to hour number two of the ESPN 1320 Insiders. Get ready for the most up-to-date sports news and talk with the ESPN 1320 Insiders.
Hour number two. That's James Hamm. I'm Kyle Madsen. Joe Brazil is behind the glass. We're sponsored by Jiffy Lube, and we're hanging out with you until noon. Then we'll hand it off to D'Lo and KC. I have stumbled upon a website called toughpigs.com. And it appears to be a website dedicated to college-style dissertations about the Muppets. And I'm obsessed.
There's an entire group of people that write their college dissertation papers on the Muppets?
No, I think they just do this on the internet.
Oh, it's just a funny thing.
Maybe. I think it's funny. I believe Becca Petunia, who wrote this, is deadly serious.
That name tells me she's not serious.
I think they're so serious. I love my job so much. I love doing this show. I have such a great time doing this program. It is very rare that I'm like, ugh, I don't want to go to work today. That is not a sensation I experience. Right now, I'm so pissed that I have one more hour of this show to do, and I can't just spend the next hour reading toughpigs.com.
Okay.
I am thousands of words into an article about Pepe the King Braun.
We might have to revisit this tomorrow. Or maybe next week, where we both dive into.
There's a book cover that says, "It's Hard Out Here for a Shrimp, Life, Love, and Living Large by Pepe the King Prawn, with an introduction by Kermit the Frog." Come on. Anyways, he's James, I'm Kyle.
What's this website?
Toughpigs.com. All right. Since it's a radio station in Sacramento, sports talk radio station in Sacramento, right? It's insane. Let's talk about Jonathan Kuminga, because I think I'm out of things to say. We talked about this yesterday, but we've now seen that there was a report out yesterday that the Suns had offered Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, and 4 second-round picks. Mm-hmm. That was a report from Shams.
Something like that, I believe.
Our guy, John Gabadoro, who is very plugged in with the Suns and does radio down in Arizona, noted online that the Suns don't have 4 second-round picks to trade.
Oh. And he also said that they have never discussed Ryan Dunn as part of a trade.
Right.
Yeah.
That is something the Warriors would probably want. The reporting on that, I think, was the Warriors would covet a player like that. Not that they discussed it.
Like they would covet a player like Keon Ellis or Keegan.
Correct.
Murray, but have not been discussed.
I don't know how much more information we can squeeze out of this. We now know the contract terms that are being worked with. Mm-hmm. We now know kind of the general players that are being bandied about between from the King side and the Phoenix side. We know that the Warriors are not interested in any of those players. We know that Jonathan Kuminga is not interested in going back to the Warriors. And it feels like, all right, we've got it all out there. Someone do something. In fact, honestly, Warriors do something. Make a decision here. Mm-hmm. Because letting this drag out, trying to create some bidding war between two teams that are like, lukewarm on the guy, you're not going to get the Suns to throw in Ryan Dunn. They're not going to do that. And because of that, the Kings aren't throwing in Keon Ellis.
No.
So, go or get off the pot. Dragging this out and holding up your entire offseason, and I understand it from the Warriors' perspective. I do. They've messed this up. They have an asset that they have botched this. Jonathan Kuminga's botched things as well, but just the Warriors as a whole have botched this and have backed themselves into this corner, and my buddy Mark Grandy over at 95.7 made this point yesterday, and I think it's a great one, and it bears repeating. There's three options for the Warriors. You let Jonathan Kuminga play on the qualifying offer.
Yep.
That's one. Two, you trade him for less than you were hoping to get for him. Three, you overpay to keep him. All of those are bad. All of those are bad. There's not a good outcome here. You have to pick the best of the worst outcomes. So, this is now up to Golden State to evaluate. Do we sign Jonathan Kuminga to a 3 or 4 year deal that he is amenable to with a player option and potentially really screw this up over the next 3-4 years?
Mm-hmm.
But with the possibility of trading him? Or do you trade him now and get anything back for him and just cut your losses and try and move forward and hope that Devin Carter can fit into your rotation?
It's such a tough spot to be in for a team like the Warriors. Like the other option is that they can pull the qualifying offer and just say, hey,
you're a free agent.
You're a free agent. Go ahead and get the $14.1 million that you're going to get.
Okay, a fourth option, also bad.
Oh, yeah. No, I mean, like, look, the problem that the Warriors have is that no one in the league really believes that they want him back.
Right.
That's a problem. Like, there isn't, like, some underlying, hey, we see a great future here for him, and, like, all of this has been blown out of proportion. No, it's like, hey, we'll give you a one-year deal with the team, two-year deal with the team option for year two. That's just like, hey, we're trading you now.
Mm-hmm.
As soon as we can trade you, we're going to trade you.
Right.
You are nothing but a $20 million trade chip to us.
Yep.
And we don't care if you play. We don't care how many points you average. We don't care how many rebounds you get. We're just concerned with you as an asset.
Yep.
And that's a really, really difficult thing to pitch to somebody. I mean, even like the Kings, you know, went out and they got this meeting, whatever it was, mm-hmm. via Zoom or whatever with Kuminga. They pitched him a full idea of mm-hmm. who he would be for them.
Mm-hmm.
And he's excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Warriors aren't doing that. They're like, well, yeah, you can be here. You can be here until you're not.
Mm-hmm.
Until we find some other big deal that we want to trade you in. And then you get to go wherever that is in the middle of the season. You get to pick up and go live in a hotel somewhere
mm-hmm.
and go live some crazy life. Could be in Cleveland. Could be in Miami. It mm-hmm. could be in Indiana.
Could be in Sacramento.
Yeah. We have no idea, but it's not going to be a pleasant move for you.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just such an awkward situation that these teams have put themselves in. Well, that both, you know, Kuminga and the Warriors have put themselves in.
Yeah. And I understand it, like I said, from Golden State organizationally, because they're trying to squeeze every drop of value out of this. They have the former number 7 overall pick, and they are going to get next to nothing for him in comparison with what they thought they'd be able to get. Or they thought in comparison to what they thought he'd be.
Mm-hmm.
They drafted Jonathan Kuminga, and Joe Lacob thought Jonathan Kuminga was the next superstar. He was the next Steph Curry. He was going to be the team the guy that carried the torch in the post-Steph era and open up a new championship window. And now their best offer on the table is Devin Carter, Dario Saric in 2 seconds. Like, that's a tough pill to swallow, but it's reality. So I get there trying to go, okay, let's see if we can get a first from the Kings. Can you get can you make it an unprotected first, which I would do, by the way.
In the right situation, I would do it as
well. Kenny and Damian were talking about this yesterday, and I hadn't even thought about it. They're so right. To hell with that pick. If you and I talked about this, if you're committing to Jonathan Kuminga and you're going to go, you're going to start, we think we have these high hopes for you, cool, see a 26 pick. Here, Warriors, you have fun with that. Because if the Kings win 40 games this year, cool, it's a mid-first-round pick, but you have a 23-year-old who's about the age of a guy you would have drafted anyway, but you've gotten a full year of him on your team to begin with.
Yeah, I have a different approach on that. I mean, like, I would like to know what Vegas's thoughts are on the Sacramento Kings with Jonathan Kuminga on the roster and one of the other pieces gone, because someone else has to go, right? Like, if we could project out what their win totals would be, when you look at this team right now and Vegas has them at 35.5 wins mm-hmm. to open, that means this is a bad team. Most people are expecting this to be a bad team.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that line will probably go up to like 36, 37.5,
mm-hmm.
right? But to start at 35.5, that's not a team that should be giving away an unprotected first-round pick next year, because that could put you at 8 or 10 mm-hmm. in the lottery, which means you could actually move up and somehow get into the top four, and I'm not giving up a top four pick, the potential for a top four pick for Kuminga. Now, if it's something way off in the future, I get it, because you don't know if you're going to be good. But if I'm looking at, if I'm the Kings right now, I'm like, you have the 2031 Minnesota Timberwolves first unprotected first round pick. Mm-hmm. That's where I would go. Like, because that is such an unknown and it's not yours. And the only thing that, like, down the road, it will be a footnote that that was traded twice. Mm-hmm. It'll still be Minnesota's pick that they don't have. Mm-hmm. And it will be a footnote that it used to be the Kings pick. So if it ends up being the top pick, it's like, yeah, a couple of teams messed up there. But you're one of a couple of teams that messed up. And if I'm the Warriors, I don't care what the unprotected pick is. It's just like Kuminga. They're not looking at that pick as something that they're going to use. Mm-hmm. They're looking at that pick as a piece to a way to go get them a better player down the road. Typically.
If the difference, and the reason I bristle at the idea of that might be a top four pick is you have to take your swing at some point.
Oh, of course.
And if the difference between, if the Kings say, fine, here's this 2031 Minnesota pick, and the Warriors go, no, we want your pick. We want 2026 unprotected. That's holding up the deal. We'll overpay him if we have to, but that's what's going to hold it up. If that's what's holding it up and you're the Kings and you have this grand plan for Jonathan Kuminga, cool. Bet on yourself. Go, hey, we believe this guy is it. We think this is going to work. Here's this. If you don't believe that, if you go, you know what? Hey, we think that he might be okay. We still think we're going to suck, even if we do acquire him. So we can't trade this 26 because we're going to need it as part of this rebuild we're doing. Okay, cool, fine. But if the Kings really believe that he's that guy and they're going to spend this much time and this much energy trying to pick him up, and if they're going to trade Malik Monk or DeMar DeRozan to make sure they can fit his contract onto their team under the luxury tax. I don't know, man. Ultimately, what the Kings want to do is, I don't know, and I understand the same way I understand Golden State's position. I understand the Kings' position of going, well, we could do it unprotected first, but also,
why?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, we're gonna not actually. Here's our best offer. It's a top 16 protected first, or a top 12 protected, whatever protection you want to put on it. That's the best we're going to do because we still have questions about that guy and we don't want him to become our problem so he can stay your problem. Like, if that, fine. I don't know what other news we're going to get here. I don't know what Golden State is waiting on. I don't, because they're the ones that are having their offseason held up.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Golden State's waiting on. I don't know what... I don't know what else there is to gain. I don't know what other information we're going to learn about this situation that's going to change anyone's mind. The Warriors know what they know about Kuminga. Kuminga knows what he knows about the Warriors. The Kings know what they know about the offers the Warriors are getting. The Suns know about what offers the Warriors. Are you just going to sit around and hold up your offseason?
Yeah, and I think over the last, like, 5 days, we've basically had the Warriors put out, like, some pretty big information. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right. And then the response has been from his agent to put out some even more specific information about literally who's offering what.
Yeah.
And so you're starting to see the influx of information to flood. And what they're doing is they're debating this thing in front of the press, mm-hmm. in front of the fan base. They're sitting here like mulling it over.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really interesting way it's happening. But. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm excited to see how it all ends, like, to be honest with you.
Going to be really interesting.
Yeah.
At least I think. The other thing we can't... Well, we got to... I'll tell you the other aspect of this that isn't being discussed enough from the Golden State side. Or something that's going on with the Golden State side that we have not dived into enough that I think is a really important component of this. We'll keep talking about the Sacramento Kings offseason and the Jonathan Kuminga situation. There was some news that broke yesterday after our show, so we're diving back into that. But also, the Hall of Fame game in the NFL is tonight. The start of the NFL preseason is just hours away, and we may get back into that with football right around the corner. So that's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. It's ESPN 1320 at Sacramento Sports Center.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento's sports leader.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar? I said, sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious. He said, I think that might be it.
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.
To the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
MLB needs to hire me. That's all.
Okay.
They messed up so bad on some of the, because during the Hall of Fame induction weekend, they wore, different teams wore like throwback style hats with a Hall of Fame patch on them. And the A's were one of the teams that wore one of these Hall of Fame hats.
Mm-hmm.
And they made it the Kelly Green version of their hat with a little bit different style A on it. Really cool looking. But they wore them with their road uniforms in Houston.
Yeah.
So it was a Kelly Green hat with the gray uniform and the dark green athletics outlined in gold. Which is a travesty, by the way. The fact that it says athletics on the road uniforms is disgusting, but that's a different thing. They could have gone to the throwback road hat that they wore up until, God, probably 2010 or 11. Just an all-green hat with the yellow A on it. That's what they should have gone with. You knew they were on the road. You've had the schedule forever. You could have just been like, yeah, hey, we're going to do this style of throwback instead. Hall of Fame patch on the side, I'd have bought that. Instead, they go Kelly Green on top of the forest green. Ugh,
yeah, disgusting. I'm not sure why they disgusting. Were mixing greens.
I don't know either. It's gross. It's like the Dallas Cowboys mixing all the different blues.
Yeah.
Big
why don't you
down.
Just spend the money and have an extra uniform with a different color? I mean, it doesn't... And
the
they
answer's
should
in the question.
A, yeah.
Spend extra money.
Yeah, that's true.
They're not feeling good. Although the A's could have worn their Kelly Greens, I guess. I don't know. Anyways, he's James. I'm Kyle. Joe's over there. The Jonathan Kuminga situation, there's something at play from the Warriors side that I think needs to be really hammered home. Because I saw somebody in the chatty house say a top four protected first round pick is more than enough. The Warriors should be happy with that offer from the Kings, and the Kings should not offer a penny more than that. Like, all right. One of the things at play here, and I heard this from somebody who talks to people in the building. Do not underestimate Joe Lacob's need to be right.
Hmm.
That cannot, no matter what you think Jonathan Kuminga's value is, no matter what I think it is, or you, James, or Steve Kerr, or Mike Dunleavy Jr., Joe Lacob, who owns the team, that is his dude. He badly wants Jonathan Kuminga to be the guy who saves the Warriors. He badly wants the Steph Curry era to end and then seamlessly transition into the Jonathan Kuminga era, two timelines they did it. That has been the goal for 4 years. And they are now in a situation where we went over all the options. The now four options. James, you pointed out the fourth. You pull the qualifying offer and make him an unrestricted free agent.
Yeah.
He plays on the qualifying offer. You trade him for less than you want to get for him, or you sign him for more than you want to pay him. The reason I think it's very telling that Anthony Slater, who is extremely plugged in Golden State.
Yes.
I think it is very telling that despite all of this reporting, despite all the news, he was on our show. He was in writing before joining our show, then was on our show last week, and then yesterday, 2 days ago, whatever, this week, he has been firm that he thinks and the Warriors believe that Jonathan Kuminga will be on their roster to start this season.
Mm-hmm.
Because I don't think Joe Lacob, and that's why you keep hearing Keon Ellis, unprotected first, Keegan Murray. Like, the reason you're hearing these names, where you're as a Kings fan, you're scoffing like, no, rightfully so.
Mm-hmm.
But the reason those names are out there is because that's what it would take, where a haul that Joe Lacob could go, ah, we had to do it. We made it ourselves better. You know, you hate to lose Kuminga, but man, we got a first-round pick, and we got Keon Ellis, who we think fits great. Like, that's what they want. And so when I sit here and I go, they need to make a decision, I think part of the reason they're not making a decision is because there's friction in the building. I think if Steve Kerr had the ultimate call, if Steve Kerr had the final stamp, and Steph Curry had the final stamp, the Devin Carter deal is done, protected first, whatever, cool, we'll take it, we're going to move on with our lives. Al Horford, get in here. D'Anthony Melton, get in here.
Mm-hmm.
But I think there's a part of this where ownership is like, we're actually not going to do that. Because I refuse to be wrong about Jonathan Kuminga. I refuse to have this end in shame. Even though that's very much the direction this is going.
It's really weird, though. I mean, that's why you always have this weird dynamic in any professional sports team, where if you have an active owner, an owner that's engaged and part of the discussions and part of everything that's happening, and that's not just in Golden State. I mean, it's here in Sacramento without any question,
mm-hmm.
right? It's that you have to convince everybody in the room of what you're doing and why it's right to do what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not easy because people have their own opinions. And, you know, again, if you can't pitch this in the right way to your boss, they're, you know, I could see Lacob like being a holdup.
Yeah.
Same time, like, you're just not very good with Kuminga. You're okay with Kuminga. The Kings aren't very good without Kuminga. Mm-hmm. I don't think it changes like tremendously what this season looks like for the Kings. I would even say there's a possibility if you traded for Kuminga and then had to dump DeMar DeRozan to get under the luxury tax, that Vegas is going to view you as a 34.5 win team.
Sure.
Like, I don't know that the number goes up, but that doesn't mean that you don't have potential to be different and like to find a pathway forward. I think we all look at the pathway that they're on right now, and we've seen that jam. You know, we already know what it looks like.
Mm-hmm.
It has to look different if we expect the outcome to be different. Yeah. We can talk about how much influence Doug Christie can have over, you know, the team given a full training camp and a full off season and all that stuff. We can talk about, you know, like the maturation of specific players and maybe this player becomes this or that. What Dennis Schroeder might look like. The answer is, like, really, Vegas isn't usually off by that far. On occasion, they are.
Sure.
But they are also spot on a lot of times. And more often than not, when you take the over in a situation like this, you lose your money.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what Vegas is about.
Mm-hmm.
So they're just not that far off. And so I think it's interesting because they're, like, we talk about just the dynamics in play, all these three different teams that, you know, whether it's Kuminga's group, it's the Kings, it's, you know, again, the Warriors, you can even throw in the Suns as a fourth.
Mm-hmm.
Then on top of that, within each of these, they have their own factions of people who are super high on a player or not super high on a player, who are willing to give up this or not willing to give up that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, again, I know BJ Armstrong has spoke glowingly about Jonathan Kuminga multiple times in the past.
Mm-hmm.
He's a fan.
Mm-hmm.
Now, as far as Scott Perry, he hasn't done that. Not like he did with the Zach LaVine situation or something. So I think we're always caught in this, like, okay, who's on what side and who's pushing what? And so it makes it really complicated. It's not just, you know, three or four groups of people trying to make a decision. It's groups within those groups trying to make decisions as well about what's right for their franchise.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I like I said, this is not a thing you're supposed to say on the radio, but I've run out of things to say about the Jonathan Kuminga situation.
Yeah.
Not, we have more details, but the fundamentals of it haven't changed at all. And maybe the holdup at this point is the Kings need to make that additional trade before bringing in Jonathan Kuminga.
Mm-hmm.
That might be the holdup at this point. I'm of the belief that Golden State is the one that's just not pulling the trigger. But I don't, I know we keep hearing September and we hear about this October 1st deadline for the qualifying offer. I can't fathom that Golden State wants to put themselves in a position where they're sitting there on September 30 and Al Horford hasn't signed and the Anthony Melton hasn't signed. And we've heard Seth Curry's name thrown around. I can't imagine they want to wait that long. I don't think the players probably want to wait that long. And I don't think Golden State wants to wait that long.
Yeah.
And the fact that we're getting all this reporting now, and oh, hey, they've offered 2 and 45, but the hang-up is the team option and the no trade. At some point, I think in the not too distant future, we're gonna have a resolution to this.
Yeah, I'd add this too. Like the Dario Saric thing has its own wrinkles. Like they can't trade Dario Saric in a trade that that is aggregated for 60 days from the day they acquired him. So the Kings can't technically add him into a deal where they're adding him to Devin Carter's salary until all the way, you know, until September 13th. Let's see, July 13th, so August 13th. Yeah, maybe the 11th of September, whatever it might be, but 60 days. So, again, I think that there might be a way around that.
Mm-hmm.
Like the Warriors might have like a trade exception that they're accepting Dario Saric, but you know, whatever, like it's going to be complicated.
Yeah.
But that's another one of those things that kind of stands out. Like what exactly are you doing here?
I do think it's encouraging from the Kings perspective that there's reporting that Jonathan Kuminga wants to be in Sacramento.
Mm-hmm.
Like that matters a lot in this, but again, like we're just kind of, okay, we're now running in circles. And Warriors got to do something. And oh, how dare they scoff at this offer? How dare they make this offer? Like, it's just, all right, yeah, we got it. It's two teams trying to out-leverage each other. Three teams now with Phoenix.
Yep.
Phoenix, allegedly. Phoenix, who made an offer of 4 second-round picks that they don't have.
This feels, it feels a little bit like arbitration in baseball.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like you go in arbitration, and the stupid thing is they're usually fighting over like $200,000.
It's so dumb.
And then they go in, and each of them have their sides, and they just trash each other.
It is so crazy.
They use advanced statistics. They use everything in the book to trash a player so they don't have to pay like an extra $150,000.
Yeah.
And then you get done with the transaction. It was like, well, that was horrible. Can't wait to do this next year because I got 3 years of arbitration.
I'm on arb 3.
Yeah.
Bip Roberts, former NBC Sports. Still.
I haven't seen him. I've seen either. Shooty.
Yeah. I think former A's analyst for NBC Sports. I was when I was working out at NBC. I'm doing an A's pregame thing, and it's Brody Brazil, it's Dave Stewart, and it's Bip Roberts, and then me and another producer. And I had this whole thing laid out, and I think I've told this story before, but I had this whole thing laid out about the A's hard contact rate and how it correlated with their strikeout rate. Like, they led the league in hard contact rate, or were top five, but then they were also way up there, like, top five in strikeout rate, or bottom five, depending on how you want to look at it. They had one of the highest strikeout rates. And so I was kind of putting together, like, look, these guys are just swinging for the fences every time. And I had all this other data. I had all this other stuff that I had looked up, and I built out a graphic for it, and it looked great. And Bip Roberts, as I'm kind of explaining this segment, scoffs and goes, hard contact rate. I'd love to see a team, or I'd love to see somebody use that in arbitration, or wish I'd had that in arbitration.
Mm.
Like, scoffing at it. It's like, they do.
Oh, yeah, now.
If you think, I don't know what Jacob Wilson's hard contact rate is, so I'm just using a local example.
Mm-hmm.
Let's pretend Jacob Wilson's hard contact rate is 18%. It's not, but let's pretend it's that low. And Jacob Wilson hit 350. Jacob Wilson's going to go to arbitration and go, I hit 350 last year, and the A's are going to go, yeah, but did you? Like, your hard contact rate was down. You got some fly ball luck. You had 4 homers that actually wouldn't have been home runs in 27 other parks. So did you really hit those home runs? Like, that's how that goes.
Mm-hmm. If they allowed the shift, you probably would have batted 308.
Right. Yeah.
You're like, yeah. Really?
The defensive positioning of
That's what you're going to, and they're going to figure you out next year. So we're going to have to deal with that.
That's totally what this Kuminga thing is like, though.
Yeah.
The Warriors like, well, we want him and we're going to keep him unless, wow. Hey, Ryan Dunn. Oh, man. This offer from Phoenix. The Kings are like, oh, here's Devin Carter.
Yeah.
And that's our second round pick.
And like, I had this conversation with Damian and Kenny yesterday. Like the Devin Carter thing is interesting because he does like project as a Gary Payton II type player. Like 6'2" guard, jump out of the gym, good defensive player, can rebound, can give you some minutes here and there, but you don't know if he's going to have a higher upside or not. I think it is like a really interesting like player comp that Golden State might actually work for him. Where he doesn't work, or he might not work in Sacramento.
Yeah, that's what it comes back to fit, which we talk about all the time.
Yeah.
Maybe that's what it is. And if he accepts that role in Golden State, maybe Golden State finds a player that fits better, and Jonathan Kuminga fits better with the Kings, and oh my gosh, look at this. I don't know how the Warriors feel about Devin Carter in a vacuum. But I would guess the holdup is less Devin Carter and more they view Devin Carter as a tier 4 player and they think Jonathan Kuminga is a tier 1 or 2 player.
Yeah.
And I think that might be more the holdup. But I think there's definitely a world where if that trade goes down where Devin Carter has a legit role and actually helps Golden State.
Or at least has an opportunity to compete for minutes.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we're talking about, what, the 13th pick in the draft last year.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's interesting.
There's a lot of opportunity for minutes.
You know what else?
I don't have anybody.
There's an opportunity for, Kyle.
Oh, I need you to tell me right now.
You could win 2 single-day passes to Aftershock at Discovery Park, October 2nd through October 5th, courtesy of Danny Weimer Presents. Just enter online at ESPN1320.com contest page. You could win 2 single-day passes to Aftershock. Amazing.
Hell yeah. And that is a second mention, folks. Come on. We did it. Second mention. Yeah, man. Something will happen at some point. I just hope there's no more stories that come out about this. That's my hope. I don't want another Athletic article letting us know that I can give me a tweet. Warriors offered 3 and 86.
Mm.
Yeah, but you got to waive the no trade clause.
Yeah.
Like, huh?
We don't want you. Like, we're gonna pay you.
It's like they don't want him on their team. But they want a return, like they do want him on their team. But the reason they don't want him is because they don't think that he can affect winning. But the reason that they're not just giving him away is because they think other teams think he can affect winning. Yuck.
Here's a question for you, because I know you watch a lot of Warriors games.
Mm-hmm.
If the Warriors walk into this season with Jonathan Kuminga as one of their rotational players versus without him and with, say, Devin Carter and whatever, Dario Saric, are they a better team or worse team without him?
Probably a little worse, but probably negligible.
Yeah, I think they're worse, but maybe game. Worse.
Yeah, not having, and again, it didn't affect winning the 4 games that he started against Minnesota, they lost. But not having that player available who's just going to come in cold off the bench and drop 18 in a playoff game and then drop 30 and then 23 and 26 or whatever the point totals were, like, you don't just get better by losing that player. But again, maybe the fit with Devin Carter is just awesome, and he finds a role, and he's a more consistent three-point shooter than Gary Payton II, and he's a rebounder, and he's a defensive pest, and oh my God, look at this. But no. The other place Golden State is stuck is they're trying to maximize Steph's window here.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever years they have left of him being an effective player, they're trying to maximize that window. And it's like for what? Because they're not going to contend for a title. And so I think that's the other thing at play here for them is, well, this Jonathan Kuminga trade isn't going to get us closer to a championship.
No.
So do you want to make that trade, even if it makes you worse? That's kind of the other place I think they're stuck is.
That's why the money matters and that $20 million salary matters.
Yeah, for sure. The handoff matters. D'Lo and KC going to join us next. We'll dive into, we did some of the Jonathan Kuminga stuff already, but we'll talk about MLB trade deadline. That's coming up at 3:00 today. No news that I've seen for the A's. And by the way, just for the interest, in the interest of accuracy, Jacob Wilson, 19.1% hard contact rate this year.
Mm.
Not bad. That's James. I'm Kyle. He's Joe. The handoff with D'Lo and KC coming up next. We are sponsored by Jiffy Lube. And this is the Insiders on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader.
You're listening to The Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, sponsored by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320 and 98.5 HD2, Sacramento sports leader.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze.
Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Now, back to the Insiders with James Hamm and Kyle Madsen, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
I'm Kyle, he's James. Yeah, NMIX is at Sutter Health Park tomorrow before the game. K-pop group.
Oh, okay. I should have known by you bringing up the KM, the host of
thank you.
Saturday Comeback over on 106.5 The End.
I'm in. 9 a.m.
Saturday mornings, 9 a.m. to 10.
Let's go. NMIX, they would like sell out Golden 1 Center. They're a they're a legit group.
Okay.
And they're doing a West Coast ballpark tour. But I guess the Giants are not at home, so they're not going to Oracle Park. They're going to go to Sutter Health Park and do a pregame concert. That's amazing.
Spectacular.
That's such a cool thing.
That is spectacular.
Hell yeah. I can't wait. I'm going.
I had no doubt.
I'm going to be in the building.
Now it's your job.
Yeah, right.
You gotta be there. You gotta have a 106.5 The End T-shirt on and everything, or you got Saturday Comeback shirts.
Now I'm gonna dress. I'm gonna dress nice.
Oh, we're turning up.
Yeah, we might.
Okay.
This is where I'm torn because I'm going under with a credential. So
okay,
I was gonna go because NMIX is the same.
So I'm sorry. Follow this is a part of the game.
It is at 6:35 p.m. There's a concert. Pre-game.
Okay. Yeah.
The game starts at 7.
Got it.
So we're talking probably 3 or 4 songs.
So this is a group that could sell out Golden 1 Center.
I think they'd probably sell out Golden 1.
15 minutes-ish
at Sutter Health Park.
That's amazing.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they'd sell out Golden 1.
Well, I mean, if you're even posing the question, it means they would sell, you know, comfortably 10,000 tickets.
Oh,
like 10,000-plus tickets.
Yeah. That's especially if they came here and didn't do anything in the Bay Area.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So that's always
You should try to get a music credential so you can actually go meet them and all that stuff.
I know enough people with the A's. That's still what I'm going to try and do.
Just take Kevin's. Like, I'm Kevin. I'm just trying.
Like, I did not put... Nah, never mind. Kenny's here. It's a handoff. D'Lo and KC coming up here at noon. We'll talk about real stuff in a second. But yeah, so they're the same label as Stray Kids, which is the group that's my favorite group. And I was just going to go decked out in Stray Kids stuff and figure, cool, if I can make a contact, it's JYP is the label. If I can make a contact with JYP, that would be dope.
Yeah.
Like, that'd be great for my K-pop program. But I'm going as media, and I don't want to go in there in a basketball jersey and a...
Understood. Yeah.
So what is
there's a K-pop concert before the A's game on Friday an actual group.
I got you, but you're talking about you dressed a certain way. Like, what is that for a K-pop concert? Like, what is like, yo, I'm in the right attire.
Great question.
That is a good question. So it depends a little bit on how you wanna do the show. So the first Stray Kids show I went to, you could dress however you want. Like you could dress like this. Mm-hmm. We picked out, my wife and I picked out an outfit look that they did in a photo shoot they did one time.
Gotcha.
And so we just kind of like used that look as inspiration.
Gotcha.
Black
gotcha.
Shirt, red Letterman jacket.
Sweet.
Some jeans, a hat.
Matching onesies.
Matching onesies, of course. Nobody sees those because they're underneath. But
no, wrong with that.
But like, I'm going to AT's on Saturday in San Jose, and they have a song right now called Lemon Drop.
Okay.
And so I'm going to wear some cargo pants. Cargo pants are back, by the way, Joe. This is confirmed.
When did they leave?
I'm wearing...
They never left. They just...
You were in cargo pants yesterday, I think.
I thought cargo pants left for
I wore them one time.
I didn't see cargo pants for a long time.
Yeah, you are wearing them now.
I'm wearing them right now.
I thought cargo pants went away, because cargo pants were big when I was younger, and then I feel like... From like 08 to maybe 2014, I felt like cargo pants were out.
I think,
and then I started seeing them.
Well, cargo pants have evolved. Like it's not like just the big giant heavy pocket weighing the pants down. Sure. Like these got the drawstring at the bottom. They're camo. Mm-hmm. They got the
and that has come back.
I mean, those are Jordan brand, right?
Big wide leg joints.
Yeah.
Wide leg joints are back. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Super bad.
That photo you posted on Instagram was crazy. Your Ed Hardy shirt.
Yo, that was wild.
I was at a 2000s party the other day.
I thought somebody, I was like, did he do this on purpose?
Those were, and everything I said was correct. Like, legit. 4XL Ed Hardy shirt, size 48 jeans, but my Air Force Ones.
Oh, my God.
Let's go.
Incredible.
Let's go. And the way and the do-rag, the white do-rag under the baseball hat.
That went cold. When I first saw the picture, I was like, man, why does he look so old in this picture? And then I was like, okay. It was the theme of the party I missed.
The ironic thing is I would not have gotten into any of the clubs.
Nope.
No chance.
No.
Hell
no.
They would have.
The amount of time, I'm telling you.
They might have arrested me on site.
The amount of times I heard, this is a $200 velour suit. Yeah, bitch, it's still a sweatsuit, man. Get out of my line.
Put a suit, a suit, but you had to have denim with the hard bottoms with the button up, which made you wear a blazer, and some people would go with the tie. We looked ridiculous. There's an Instagram page of how we used to dress, how we had to dress to get in the clubs. And
stupid.
The worst look is jeans with the dress shirt, with the vest, with the shirt poking out from under the vest.
Calm down.
That's crazy. That's crazy work.
Calm down, youngster. Relax.
You know what's even crazier?
Relax.
Is we did all, and you saw it every night, well, every Friday. We did all that still in a size 40 3X blazer. That looked crazy.
3X blazer.
You go in there to buy a dress shirt, they'd be like, all right, man, your next 15 and a half. Great, give me 18. Give me the 18.
That's a true story, man.
I got the tough part is, man, I've got so many pictures with Paris Hilton and stars of that time. I'm mm-hmm. why am I dressed like this? What am I ever gonna do with this picture? Why do I look like that?
Oh, hey, but that day you stepped out and you were like, I don't
couldn't tell me nothing.
Who's killing it?
Couldn't tell me nothing. Showed up at the Radio Music Awards with 4 different button-up shirts. Most of them were striped. Oh, you couldn't tell me nothing.
Oh, sorry, guys. Real quick, that reminds me, though. You heard Tanel's coming back.
Yeah. Stop it.
Yeah. It's actually this Saturday is the opening.
Tanel 21 is...
Wait. What?
It's not the name Tanel 21.
Is it it's the same place?
Our people are, putting the event on.
Man, I hope they got that joint ventilated at the bottom, because Shout out to Taylor Barber, man. The little VIP area that they used to send you to was the mustiest damn place you ever been to.
Shout out to Taylor Barber.
Mateen Cleaves down there in a Coogee sweater just sweating for no goddamn reason. Hey, man. Of course, that's where all the, you know, the women are because the players are down there. Yeah. It's nasty. Just awful. Air is 6 inches thick. Just all
there's
bad.
No windows, no nothing.
Yeah. Chris over there playing pool, like just sweating all over the felt. Get out of here.
He sweats like everywhere he goes. I can't
everywhere.
Imagine.
Oh, my God.
Is he Kenny Thomas levels?
Beyond. Yeah.
I don't even say that like a shade because I sweat crazy.
Nothing. Nothing will be better than my entrance to that club where I go in and I'm working. Mm-hmm. They finally had us out there because it like the novelty wore off kind of quick. So they had 102.5 out there and I came out and my man is at the front desk and I'm like, hey, I'm here with KSFM. He goes, $15. I was like, no, like you're paying me to be here. Like I'm working here. He goes, oh, $10. Your boy, Vlade, comes off to the side and just pops him in the back of the head.
He went Michael Jordan on Malik Monk.
Yeah. It was like, he said something. I don't know what he said. He's like, go on. Downstairs, you're good. Downstairs, everybody's downstairs. I was like, okay, I got you. I'll go downstairs. Anything you want me to do? No. Just go downstairs. Okay. So I go downstairs, and there's Mateen Cleaves in his Coogee sweater. Like, hey, drunk to hell, right? Because it's already well past the time I'm supposed to be there. Sure. And then, so we spent the next 2 hours in the bottom floor of musty ass
sweating with Mateen Cleaves.
I'm sure if we had him on the show or we talked to him, he would tell you the best time in my NBA career was here in Sacramento. He didn't do anything but wave a towel, be the hype man, and go to Tenille. He seemed like he had
don't say that ain't
ass.
All he did.
Yeah.
Let's say like he had a good ass.
Probably not someone you're going to have on the show, but
I believe there's some. He's a smidge bit problematic at this point.
Well, yeah.
You're right.
Damn. Could have been birthed from that time at Tenille 21. Who knows? I'm not sure.
So you said when the novelty wore off, forgive me, what was the novelty of this place?
Well, it was owned by Vlade.
Tenille
21. It was Vlade's club.
Vlade's wife ran
the first.
Okay.
The first.
That was the novelty of it. It wasn't some kind of weird.
And all the Kings were there. Like, they were there.
Got it.
Yeah, like the first night they opened. I think they started on a Saturday. No, they started on a Friday because we were at Sidelines, which was an old sack, and you could see the spotlight. Like, they had one of those gigantic spotlights outside of Tenille, like, you know, circling the sky, and it's like,
God.
Oh, this sucks. this sucks so bad. Like, we're here, and everyone else is there. And that lasted, for a while. I mean, not for a while. It probably lasted a couple months. And then it started to fade a little bit. And then it was like, okay, we're still running a business. What can we do? And that's when they finally had us out there. And they only had us out there for maybe less than a month.
And
maybe
for
a month.
People that, I mean, putting the timelines together, this was when that group of Kings was the biggest rock stars the city's ever seen.
Oh, yeah.
So anything they did, whether it was Tenille or Carl's Jr.,
04,
it didn't 05. Matter. Like, lines were wrapped around everywhere.
Yeah. I know that there was one player who his crew got kicked out of Tenille and were not allowed back in.
Assuming it was Mike.
Well, I'm just going to say a player's crew was kicked out.
Yeah, Mike has been kicked out of most clubs in Sacramento. I watched Mike.
He got kicked out of Lottie's club?
I watched Mike Bibby and his Team crew. Dime walk up to Ricky's. Not dressed the way that the lady who ran Ricky's wanted. Mind you, this is Mike Bibby at the time Kenny's talking about in Team Dime. This is 7 or 8 deep. And no, you guys aren't dressed appropriately. And I'm like, yo, hey, Do we want to rethink this?
Right.
No, they can't be in here. So they had walked.
Rules are rules.
I think it was the Hard Rock had just opened around the corner.
Yeah, Hard Rock was going.
They just got out. Car just drove in a circle, and they went over to
was
Hard Rock.
Was it our girl that we always see at Juneteenth?
No. Oh. No. No. No.
Because that was a bad decision. If you don't let them in there with those 5X velour suits.
Yeah.
That's tough.
Yeah, and that's what they were. That's what they were, them 5X velour suits.
Man.
Had my share.
He literally went in there like he did when, you know, that picture of him and Chris on The Tonight Show.
Yes. That's how he tried to get to the exactly club. That's exactly how he pulled
up. I don't
up
know
club.
This. I don't know
I'll
this.
Pull, oh, I'll yeah. pull it up. You'll yeah. see it.
Mike
yeah, yeah.
Bibby Tonight Show?
Yeah. 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 It's peak. It's literally everything. It's
oh
Kenny,
my
it's Kenny
God.
In the picture from this weekend.
That's exactly what it is.
Oh my God! Shout out to Getty, by the way.
They were fitted, boy. They was
just
fitted.
Available for
and you
us.
You couldn't tell us that it? That wasn't the move right there with that outfit.
Hey James, I've got our Halloween costumes for this year.
Oh yeah!
Come on!
Do it!
Yeah.
Is that no, okay? So I was gonna say Nietzsche. That looks like a Jordan brand.
Yeah, I think Mike got the Jordan. Chris
man,
the,
with
the Dadas.
The sleeves on the short joint past the elbows is crazy.
Oh my goodness!
That's a $375 picture right there.
That's crazy.
There we go.
Have they heard of screenshots? What are we talking about?
Wow,
that's so crazy.
Especially with the iPhone,
bro,
you got.
You guys, right? You guys have to do this for Halloween.
All right, I'm down.
I love this.
I bet we can find
no makeup.
I bet.
Yes. Well. Yes. Well, James did great last year. James did great last year. He was Kenny,
that was
and it
good.
Wasn't offensive
that was
good. At all. That was perfectly fine.
That was hilarious.
Perfectly fine.
Perfectly fine.
Yeah, I'll be Mike Bibby. I've got the hair for it.
Finding velvet shoes was not easy.
Oh, I'm sure. I'm sure it wasn't cheap either.
Who oh no, they
the,
were.
Who finding oh, the okay. Dada's
thrift store? Thrift store.
Who's finding the Dadas?
See, you gotta
I don't
find those
think
chrome
I've
Dadas.
Ever wanted anything in my life more than I wanted those shoes.
Oh, yeah.
With the spinners on them.
Oh, really?
Oh, those okay. are the N1 Freewell.
Yeah,
ones.
Those.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay.
I did. Was that not?
Those that wasn't Dadas. Dada.
No, the Dadas were a little chrome, different.
Those were like chrome colored.
Yeah.
Yeah. Super shiny. Yeah.
They were like the equivalent of the Big Baller brand shoes. They lasted about that long.
The Dada joints?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Chris
yeah.
got hurt.
Yeah, Chris. Yep.
You are listening to KIFM West Sacramento, KRX QHD2 Sacramento, ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader, always free on the Odyssey, iHeart, and TuneIn apps.
I'm going to make the switch here, so something's going to happen.
Yeah, here we go.
Okay, we're
so
going.
There it
here
is.
We go.
Boom, boom, and boom. We're back.
Hey, and we're back. It's D'Lo and KC, the insiders, joining for the handoff. Here on ESPN 1320 Sacramento Sports Leader. We were talking about this before you guys came in, and I know we did the Kuminga thing yesterday, but I want to, it's a little bit different. I think I'm out of things to say about it. Like, I think we're just, I don't know what else can come out about it that is going to change anything in the conversation. Like, it feels like.
I mean,
what, ain't gonna stop me from talking about it, though.
Sure, no, that's it. But it just feels like every time we talk about it, okay, now we got contract numbers. We know, okay, the Suns are kind of involved, but apparently they offered 4 second-round picks, but don't have 4 second-round picks to offer.
Come on, all right, man. Come on.
So,
wait a minute.
What are we doing here, man?
John Gambadoro, our guy Gambo from down in Arizona. He tweeted yesterday. He's like, he quote tweeted Central, NBA Central, and was like. I want to get his exact quote here.
How do you do really funny. That? you offer something you don't have.
Okay, so.
No, we'll get him, I promise.
Full court pass tweets the Phoenix Suns trade offer for Jonathan Kuminga per Mark Spears. Royce O'Neal, Nick Richards, 4 second-round picks. Gambo quote tweets it and says, okay, someone look this up. How many second-round picks do the Phoenix Suns currently have? I know the answer, but I want you to figure it out.
Well, if that's the case, Scott Perry, offer the Warriors the number one pick in the draft. Just offer it to them.
Yeah,
if they think
we got
it. Yeah, we don't have it either. So, like, what do you want to do?
You guys want the chance to maybe have Cooper Flagg last year?
What if the Warriors took it?
And I'm just like, bet.
See, now, that's the tough part. That's the tough part, though, about Mark's position on TV yesterday. Shout out to Mark Spears, who left another text on return this morning. But
what an icon.
It's probably the best show bit of the last 5 years. Our attempt to get Mark Spears on the show.
I want you to finish what you're going to say, but remind me about texting guests. Go on.
He might not have like literally meant 4 first round picks. Mm. He could have meant like Royce O'Neal, you know, they got a couple, you know, 2, 3, 4 first round picks, whatever, but he's talking. Mm. But when you're Mark Spears, you're on NBA Today and you're talking about a subject like this, that your, you know, your fan base is hanging on, James, I know you're really, really careful when you say things on radio and the podcast and all of that. I think some guys like just talk. And that might have been what Mark was doing. Winhurst is notorious for this.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he'll say something on a podcast, and they'll be like, wait, what? But he was just talking. Mm-hmm. And
I had ESPN boss complained to me about that specific thing with Winhurst. Like, hey, where did you say this? Because everybody's aggregating something you said. He goes, well, that was on a podcast. He's like, why didn't you write it for us? He goes, well, because I didn't really have it. I just like, you know, but it's something I had heard.
Gosh.
He's like, but you can't dang say it then. You can't say it out there. He's like, well, why not? He's like, it's something I heard. He's
you
like,
know, well, you're Brian Windhorst.
Well, then you write that for us. He goes, well, no, I'm not writing that because I don't really. Well, like, wait, we just keep going in the same circle. Either you're like, do not go, well, it's just a podcast. It's like, no. It's out there. Now you said it.
And that's what what Mark might have done yesterday. He may not have literally meant 4 first round picks, but it's tough when you're Mark Spears and there's not a lot happening right now.
Mm-hmm.
You say 4 second round picks. It's like that's the move in Royce O'Neal? Okay. We need to move on from this conversation with Phoenix. This is laughable. Mm-hmm. But again, he could have just, you know.
I have a question before we talk about texting guests. Is Royce O'Neal bad now?
I don't
because
know that that's
I saw
a move.
That I saw that Royce O'Neal and Nick Richards and was like, I wouldn't hate that.
So yeah. this is the thing for me.
Shot 40% for 41% from 3 last year.
I think they're good ball players. They had zero impact on Phoenix. I remember when Phoenix got Nick Richards, who was on the air, and people were like, why couldn't the Kings do that? Now Phoenix made a move, and it amounted to nothing. Now, that doesn't mean it's all Nick Richards' fault or anything else like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you get him in the Warriors in a better situation, he's probably more valuable. But those guys, they're just kind of players.
Golden State literally doesn't have a center.
Yeah, but Royce O'Neal's contract, 10.1, 10.9, and 11.6. And they're not taking that money.
Where is he going to get those shots from?
Yeah, they're not taking that money.
That's
like, because you signed Shavano, didn't you?
Yeah, they gave him 9
I don't,
plus.
Like, if you had let Buddy leave, like, a little more, okay. Mm. But you didn't.
Yeah.
You don't need 2 buddies. The world can't handle 2 buddies. We don't need to do that.
Well, better maybe.
And a buddy comedy of Buddy by himself.
Yeah.
The Warriors in that situation that you laid out, kind of got to ask themselves, would we rather, what do we value more? Royce O'Neal or a potential unprotected Kings first round pick?
Sure.
And I don't know what the answer is.
Sure.
Them,
yeah.
You know, but. Some people might look at it as the asset of having that first round pick.
Sure.
Means more than what Royce O'Neal might bring to the table for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. On texting guests, so you have a bit now where Mark Spears doesn't get back to you.
Oh, and here's the great thing about Mark. He will. It might be tomorrow or Sunday.
Oh, okay.
But he will, and he'll probably just respond with, what's up?
Well, it might not even necessarily be an answer as well. It might just be like just something random. Like, hey, text this person, actually.
Well, that's happened. It's happened before,
or,
too.
Like, one time I had to tell him, like, I texted him, hey, Mark, what's up? He's like, oh, I can only go on the ESPN station. Well, Mark, I have news for you, pal.
Hey, what was the last thing Mark said to us when we walked away from him last time? Do you remember? Like, the very last time we were with Mark, we sat down. I don't remember if it was the playing game or what it was.
It was a little before that.
We were sitting with Mark. It was just the three of us. The very last thing Mark said to us before.
Did he ask us what station
we were on? That's what it was. He was like, hey. He grabs Mark. Hey. Y'all at ESPN station, right? Yeah, Mark. Okay.
5 years of this, Mark.
Yeah.
And when we see,
damn it.
Every time we see Mark, we talk to him for like no less than 20 minutes
easy.
At a time. Like, we
easy.
Talk to him.
He cracks
every
jokes.
Time.
Like,
you guys have been walking away, and he's been like, man, those 1140 guys.
No, I started.
If only they were on the ESPN station.
He walked away. I used to think we walked away from him, and he'd wonder, I wonder who those guys were.
That's some cool guys.
Those guys should be on the radio. That's
dude,
a real comment.
This dude talks with us, jokes with us, sits with us. Bro sends me memes and TikToks. But still, it's a battle. And I think what happened early is, like, I would text him. And then maybe Kenny would text him. And Jesse would text him. And I don't think he knew what was what.
Yeah.
Not really recognizing that we're all doing this. So I started texting Mark first. And then it was like, as Jesse was, you know, Jesse was, he's our guy. Like, all right, you know, you've got to handle this now. He's just reason after reason. It's like, Mark, that's our producer. Like, he's reaching out to you.
Guy.
And the great thing is Mark's been on the show.
Sure.
But it's never easy. He even gave us, hey man, I gotta go in 10 minutes. So we get 10 minutes. He told Jesse that he gets 10 minutes into the conversation with us, and then all of a sudden he doesn't have to go in 10 minutes anymore.
No, you know what happened? Was that when Mark Jones got on and then he was cool?
He was the one who called Mark. He was the one who, and I'm thinking like Mark Spears. You have to tell Mark Jones we're on the radio.
Yeah, oh, for sure.
And Mark Jones didn't care. He started saying what he had to say about who he was saying it about. And if you missed the show that day, I can't help you. But it's out there. It's out there, and it doesn't take a detective to figure out who he's speaking about.
We were sitting at the dinner table one night at Golden One with Mark, and he called, what's his name? I don't know how to pronounce his name. The guy who's Bubba on Forrest Gump.
Okay.
I forgot his name too.
Bubba Gump.
McKelty Williamson. He called him just to show that he knew him. It was like, FaceTimes him. Hey, say hi, everybody. Like, what is happening?
Like, sure, man.
And he's probably like, hi.
What?
Like, what's up,
what
Mark?
A name drop. The guy who played Bubba Gump.
He looks at him like, Mark, you have to stop doing this.
Mark Spears did this?
Mark Spears.
You can't keep FaceTiming me.
Do you know how many people more famous than that guy are in Mark Spears' phone that he could FaceTime?
Well, was it Mark Jones or Mark Spears?
No, it was Mark Spears. Was someone to impress people? No, it wasn't just to impress. It was somebody had mentioned him or something, and he's like, oh, he's my friend. It's like, oh, okay. Of course he's your friend. It's like, no, he's my friend. Hang on.
Well, at least he picked up. Like, who's the most famous person you could FaceTime right now and they'd pick up?
Oh.
For me, it's D-Lo.
Okay. that's a damn shame. Do better with your life.
Off the top of my head, I think Jack Cooley is probably the answer.
King's Legend. Jack
Cooley.
King's
Legend. I could.
Yeah, I feel like you've probably, got, like you've got a couple.
Probably get Doug.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
If you randomly FaceTime Doug, he'd be like, are you okay?
No, he would. Like, if I call him, he'd pick up.
Yeah.
I don't know about FaceTime.
I would hate at 95.7 when I would text a guest to come on and they wouldn't get back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I always text again, just like a follow up, text the night before, a couple days before, follow up either day of or the night before or whatever, and nothing. And then you go back to that, try and reach out to him again. Mm-hmm. And then your host goes, hey, can we try and get this person on? Like, yeah, all right, try it again. Mm-hmm. After six of my texts in a row that have gone unanswered, I'm done.
Mm-hmm.
I'm done with this.
Well, good for you for doing six.
I'm about to say six. You're hella nice.
Yeah.
What's up? Yeah, I don't go past two. Friends?
Yeah, like, I'm with Jesse. Like, there's the, like, you get to three. It's like,
I get right, the hint. Don't worry.
It depends on the guest. If it's some writer, I'm not going to blow their phone up because I. But if it's a famous person, like I'm not texting.
If it's James Worthy,
I'm not texting JJ Redick again. I'm sorry. Like I don't. Yeah, we're out.
God was the one who did that, right?
The text.
Yeah, 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 James Worthy. Yeah,
he read it.
Yeah.
He
yeah.
read it?
Yeah. Left me all read.
Yeah.
Hey, James, you want to come on my show and talk about the time you got sunned on the commercial?
That's kind of what I said.
Talk
what
about
did
the
I
time
say?
That Wheaties and Michael Jordan made you.
What did I say?
Oh, man.
I didn't even save his number.
Oh. Oh.
Sorry, James. Ooh. Worthy. Ooh. Yeah.
What do you guys got coming up on D-Lo and Casey?
What's today? Oh, Matt George in the final hour of the show. That'll be fun. You know, all of the stuff I said yesterday, we never actually did.
Oh,
we never did days. Any of it. We did we didn't do the ESPN where they talked about the 14 teams that didn't make the playoffs. We are on Thursday and still haven't talked about football yet. We got the clip of Mark on NBA Today,
Mark Spears,
and Anthony Slater on NBA Today, and that wound up kind of dominating the conversation. Like, we deviated a little bit after the Giants lost and talked about the struggles they had. But, you know, the trade deadline's coming up in 3 hours for Major League Baseball. So we'll, you know, we'll cover that as best we can. But
D-Lo's Mariners stepping it up.
Well, yeah. Hey, man.
The Padres.
Yeah.
Damn.
That's another team going all in.
That's how y'all feel.
Man. It's crazy. Mm.
Baseball's trade deadlines are so, I find them so fascinating.
Yeah.
Because teams will, like, end it quick. They'll just be like, no, 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 like, we're actually done. Not done just this year. Probably done for the next 2 or 3 years. I feel like 1 year the Phillies, like, they won the World Series, and the next year it's like, well, this isn't going well, so they're just selling everything
yeah,
off.
Yeah.
I mean, Eugenio Suarez, I got Florida. Traded to the Mariners, the first player to hit 35 home runs, I think, before the deadline to get traded.
Wow.
Crazy.
Baseball is just... It's just weird.
The other unique thing with the baseball trade deadline, at the NBA trade deadline, player X got traded for player Y and 2 second-round picks. Mm. Cool. We can evaluate that. In baseball, the A's trade Mason Miller, and you get back to Padres' first, third, 13th, and 17th right. prospects, who I literally have never heard of. So now you're trying to go through and you're like, you can't react to the trade.
Right.
You can be bummed that Mason Miller's gone, but until you've deep dive to these four prospects, it's like, don't know how I feel.
Literally won't yeah. know for like 3 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the other thing, and I don't mean no disrespect to this guy because he's a good player, mm-hmm. but like a lot of the rumors were circulating around like Stephen Kwan.
Yeah.
It's like, yo, the Giants going to go get Stephen Kwan. That'll be like, yo, are the Kings, are they going to go get...
Be nice.
Ty Jones?
Hey. Oh, come on.
Hey.
Stephen Kwan is what? That's, wow, that's Steven. Out of pocket. That's an all-star.
That's hey, baseball all-star is a little different sometimes.
They are.
It's a little yeah. different sometimes.
Well, because every team is represented.
Yeah, Stephen Kwan's a good player.
He's really good. But is he?
Stephen Kwan.
Okay, give me the NBA.
Year,
give me the NBA equivalent. If it's not.
Let me check. This is a 3-time gold glover.
Oh.
And an all-star. 2-time all-star. And you're calling him Tyus Jones? That's rude.
Who is he in the NBA?
We don't have enough time for me to ponder this.
Would you say,
on
okay,
air.
Would you say Desmond Bane?
Ooh, that's a really good comp. Yeah, Desmond Bane, I think, is the move there.
It'd still be crazy if Desmond Bane was, like, leading NBA trade deadline rumors. We would complain.
Well.
Spell Daquan before we go.
Oh, yes. Oh.
Yeah. Yeah. We're not shifting yeah, shows till you
no,
do.
We got this. D-A-E-Q-W-E-O-N.
Ah, he missed it.
He missed it.
He missed it. He missed it. We went over this yesterday. God.
Damn.
No.
What?
No.
What? Type of guy.
No E.
No E?
At the end.
It's
just O N
W O N
D A E Q W O N.
Yes.
Damn.
Daquan.
Sensational.
Thank you.
All right, check back in an hour when we try to get.
Yeah, no, we're
gonna
do this again. Yeah. At some point,
I thought I had it
on the first go around.
Damn.
Goodness.
James
gracious.
And I are done for today. D-Lo and Casey coming up right now. We're not gonna step aside. D-Lo and Casey coming up right now. Me, James, and Joe are done for the day. We're the Insider, sponsored by Jiffy Lube. Back at 10 a.m. tomorrow. Drink water. Be nice to people. D-Lo and Casey starts right now.
You've built a killer sports podcast. You bring the heat every week, and you have a loyal audience. But when it comes to monetizing, you're still leaving too much on the table. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your show for free. No fees, no catch. You focus on delivering the play-by-play and hot takes, and our experienced sales team goes to work bringing in ad dollars. Let's turn those downloads into revenue. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and start making money from your podcast.